Welcome to the Christian View Podcast. My name is Angela Roberts-Jones, and I am excited that you have tuned in. My hope is that you will be enlightened and encouraged by this view. Let's have a talk. Hello out there, and welcome to today's episode of the Christian View Podcast. It is my hope and prayer that you will be encouraged and enlightened and empowered by today's topic, Your Body Matters. So today we're going to talk about the importance of having a healthy physical body. You know, from the Christian view, we have a tendency to focus on the spiritual disciplines of prayer, scripture reading, worship, and praise. You know, working and serving in the church, but not so much on our physical health. So we also have a tendency to pursue our careers, our dreams and visions, and take care of our families and nurse social relationships, etc. Unfortunately, there are times when we take care of everybody else and everything else, but we don't always devote the time or attention needed to be physically healthy. But let me tell you today, your body matters, and we hope to inspire you today to be the best that you can be in every way. So I am so excited and elated to have with us today a special guest, my friend and classmate, Miss Angela Joyce Neely. Hello, as we call you, Coach AJ. Hi.
Hello, Pastor Angela. How are you?
I am great. I am great. And I am so excited to have you as my special guest today. And let me just say from the outset to our listeners that this is my classmates. We are graduates of Fisk University and we are proud of it. And so her name is Angela as well. My name is Angela. And there were several Angelas in our class, but somehow she emerged as AJ. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. When they called the phone, you know, we're dating ourselves, but when they called from the phone booth into the hallway and they said, Angela, and every head popped out, I said, if you call me AJ, then the other four can decide what to do.
That's right. And from that day forward, you have been AJ to all of us and now known as Coach AJ with your group and your business and your endeavor of health is your wealth, which addresses health in the emotional, social, spiritual, dietary and financial areas. And you know, we have just come a long way from those days at Fisk University, and I know that God is using you mightily. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, from there, you know, I earned a degree, Bachelor of Science in Chemistry and a minor in Chemical Engineering. Later went on to did a corporate career for a short stint and was able to be blessed with a fellowship from Indiana University via the Lilly Corporation paying for it. So I'm a Lilly Fellow, Teachers Decision Making Program.
Okay.
Yes. So I became an educator for 25 years. And got an opportunity, really, really blessed to be able to work for Dr. Macy Jemison. And as everybody knows, and awesome. If you don't know, the first African-American woman astronaut in space. So I've been able to work in her international science camps and an even greater blessing working as a co-investigator on a grant from NASA, which is a not easily earned grant.
Wow.
And so that was like multi-million dollar grant that went on for about 5 years. I was in the beginning stages, but, you know, the beauty is when you really study and do what you're supposed to do, God grants you favor. And so, you know, I'm on her speed dial. So she calls me and says, AJ, I need you to come to Houston. And I know everything else will be in place. I know the food will be there.
Wow.
I know the pay will be there. I know the home will be there. I never have to worry about anything. And then from there, my expertise gets to continue to bless others. So that's a little bit of my background.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you know, when I was praying about this topic for the podcast, you immediately came to mind. So I really thank you for doing this. I know that you have a lot to share with us. You know, as I talked to you and shared with you earlier, My parents, well, actually, my father was a biology teacher, chemistry, and a coach, football, basketball, track, and all of that. So health and wellness has been a part of my life and my family for so long. It's very important to us. Actually, they've celebrated their 58th wedding anniversary, and my father just turned 86, and they're still going strong. So I've had some examples in front of me to see how valuable taking care of yourself can be. So I also read this book entitled Every Body Matters by Gary Thomas, which was simply profound to me. And he speaks about the concepts of our spiritual life to the importance of being a good steward over our physical bodies as a mandate from God. So I personally view being healthy as being a good steward over a precious gift that God has given us, and that is our bodies. So let me lay a little foundational scripture for us, and I'm looking to go a little more in depth in the practical aspects of how important it is to take care of our bodies. So let's look at Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And of course, AJ, feel free to just jump in any place here. But this is a very, very, very common scripture that we read and we quote in church often, you know. And so Romans 12 chapter verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Some versions say reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, many times we stop at those particular verses, but if you move further into the chapter, he says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, I'm going to stop right there, but we can move further into that particular chapter, especially where the gifts are lined out. But this term, let us use them, really caught my attention in addition to presenting your body as a holy sacrifice in the manner that, you know, when God gives us gifts, he gives us responsibility. We have to live out the will of God in a body. You know, we are not just, we're spiritual beings, but we need our body. And so in order to be effective in what we do, you know, health is just so important. You know, I like your topic, health is your wealth. That is so awesome, you know, in the fact that how can we really, 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 really be all that we can be if we don't have a health, or at least, you know, be good stewards over that body? What do you think about that scripture in health is your wealth? How did you even come up with that health is your wealth?
Well, I'm gonna draw on the sixth verse out of there, and then I'm gonna go into the response to your question. Mm-hmm. And in the sixth verse, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophecy according to the proportion of faith." And so I look at the gift that was given to me, and I will tell you how the gift was originally delivered to me. I was adopted, but in being born, I struggled with my health the first 12 years of my life. Struggled with anemia, missed school many, many weeks, got behind in my academics. And so the gift came in a strange sort of way. I came with a struggling of health, but I had a wealth of family in terms of my mother and my father, mm-hmm. who believed in family and who really wanted children, obviously, and so they adopted my sister and I. Mm-hmm. But I came with health issues. Now, they didn't have a choice mm-hmm. when they adopted me as to, well, can we have the best healthy baby? They didn't mm-hmm. have that choice. They wanted a child. And so I was named Angela as an angel to them. Mm-hmm. And they rejoiced, middle name Joyce, when I came to live with them. But I came with some health issues. And so my mother and father worked collectively for many, many, many years to help put them back on track. And so a couple of things they did. One, prayer and faith was a huge part of our family. My father's father was a pastor, and then my great-great-grandfather, so his great-grandfather, was a pastor. And so we came up in the church, and faith was a huge part of what we did. But another part of that was the mealtime, because my mother was a diabetic, and that's mm-hmm. really the other second reason how I came to be with them is my mother's first child was stillborn, mm-hmm. but they really wanted children. And so, you know, meals were an important part of our life. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner were non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Everybody was together, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. And from there, before the meal started, whereas it used to be, we said prayer. Mm-hmm. So we understood that the bread that we were breaking was going to be blessed, and our bodies were going to be blessed by that. So in response to the health is your wealth, the wealth came as a result of honoring, you know, the family time and the meal time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is an awesome stuff. I never knew that. So about you, rather. So that's an awesome testimony, because, you know, it is often said that our struggles and our challenges often define our purpose and our purpose and even our careers and vocations. We can encourage people through what we have gone through. It adds meaning and depth to our life. And so health is your wealth and the meal times and all of that. Sacrificing your body to the Lord, you know, is so important in the sense of, as you mentioned, okay, you had those health challenges, but you've done everything you could to restore or bring restoration to your bodies. Is that what I'm hearing as far as your family is concerned?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the piece that I think also became important is that because my mother was a diabetic, it was even more important that we paid attention to what we ate mm-hmm. as well as when we ate. Mm-hmm. And ever growing in that, our grandmother lived with us as well, and she had Alzheimer's at an early age. And my father later had Alzheimer's as well at an early age, when I say early 60. Mm-hmm. And so for 20 years, each of them had Alzheimer's. So, you know, the brain hormones, the food that feeds your brains, and then the other piece of are the pharmaceuticals that we are suggested to us to take. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things are counterproductive to the wealth of our health. And so eating properly, you know, again, is the wealth in our body. Mm-hmm. And understanding it, not from a financial point of view, but from a spiritual and a beneficial point of view, the ability to make your own decisions based on your own mind without the aid of pharmaceutical drugs. And I think that's key and central in 2018, because we have, as you know, in the news, we have so many issues going on. Obviously, we now call it the opioid crisis, mm-hmm. but we know long ago that when taking away or deciding that eating at home and cooking and preparing at home was not as important, and that we needed faster, quicker, you know, way to get there, we diminished and took away from our bank, if you will, our mm-hmm. wealth bank, by doing that. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put wealth back in our health. So I've gone back to what you can call it old school, old fashioned, whatever you want to call it, but I don't own a microwave.
Oh, wow.
I've gone back. I do not own a microwave. I got rid of it about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I cook in the oven. I steam. I haven't grilled lately, but I like to grill. I will grill. I like grilled food. I won't necessarily grill it myself, but I like grilled food, mm-hmm. baked food. I don't boil because it takes the nutrients out of the food. But I do steam, and then I eat raw. You know, I eat a salad, and I throw everything on a salad I can find, and it becomes a meal. But then when you talk about wealth, and you look at Christian principles, and you look at how do we build wealth, you know, financially, but how do we do it from a food point of view, where you diversify your portfolio?
Mm-hmm.
You diversify it as in just the things I just mentioned, how you prepare the food, to the kinds of food, which I haven't mentioned those kinds yet, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's putting us in the lane that we're moving in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. You know, I think you just touched on something that I think is very important and very profound, in the sense that you've done some research. And not just accepting the medication, which we know the synthesized drugs actually are created by man, when God has actually given us a prescription for good health, you know, throughout the body, you know, even in the book of Leviticus, where he tells them about the children of Israel, about eating certain animals and how to prepare certain types of food and grains and how to prepare them. I'd like to bring this scripture, interject this scripture at this particular time, 1 Corinthians 6 chapter 19 through 20th verse, where it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I think you just touched on that. Who is in you, whom you have received from God, and that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, as I mentioned to you earlier, many times people, especially in church, we only think of sins to our body as sexual sins, when God is looking at the whole package, not just one particular thing, which we sometimes have tunnel vision on. And I think having that tunnel vision really keeps us from doing the necessary research for the foods, how to prepare, and not taking the time. Like, I hear you say you have no microwave. Okay,
no,
we live with a microwave, you
what?
Know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the fast way of cooking, of doing things. So, I mean, that's it's just the fast way.
You may be surprised by some other things I don't do. I haven't had, since we left college, and midway through junior year, I haven't had pork, beef, or soda pop. I don't eat fried foods. I really don't go to fast food. What I consider fast food is eating at Fridays. That's my definition of fast food.
Eating at Fridays?
To me, it's fast food. Yeah, eating at Fridays, example, the restaurant Fridays. So, or just eating out, period, at a restaurant, to me,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even a 5-star restaurant, I consider that fast food.
Okay.
So, you know, so my lifestyle, it's a lifestyle. It's
mm-hmm.
not a, well, today, I think for
right.
the next, you know, 6 months, I think I'm going to try this diet. It's not that at all. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment I made, and I prayed about it. And
mm-hmm.
I tell people, whenever people want to consult with me, I tell them to write down what it is they want to do. And I said, and if you have a Bible, I don't mean your phone. I mean, if you have a Bible, write it down and put it in your Bible and just let it sit there until
mm-hmm.
it speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then make the commitment and then work towards that commitment a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to you know, 1 Corinthians and going back to Leviticus, you know, your body is a temple. And, you know, we enter temples, we enter faith buildings, you know, churches, in hopes that we pray about those issues that have weakened us, in hopes that when we leave that facility, we're strengthened. Well, in order to do that, our body, we have to understand, is a temple, much like the one we enter on Sundays or Friday nights or Saturday mornings, and we must honor it every day, 24/7. And, you know, that's a challenge because we live in such a fast-paced society. Everything has
yes.
to be done yesterday. And, yes, the microwave mentality, Gucci Fiorucci, I used to say it, we all have to have, you know, these quick turnarounds. We've got to have certain cars look a certain way, house has to look a certain way, has to happen yesterday
mm-hmm.
at any expense.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we eat foods in a hurry at any expense. The cheaper, mm-hmm. the better. And that, Pastor Angela, is not true.
Mm-hmm.
My food bill in a month can be $400 or $500, and it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But I choose the best of the best because I want to be able to do what I want to be able to do, and you know what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm. I think you said,
but you gotta listen.
Yes, you have to listen. And I think that to that point, you know, especially you made the point of praying about it and committing to it and really asking God on what for guidance on the best way, yes. of taking care of your body. And I think that's profound in the sense that even if you look back at Romans, the 12th chapter, where it says, present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, we think about the fact that Paul really uses, I guess, metaphorically, he compares this to the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament. And if you recall, yes. as an act of worship, and if you recall, the requirement was that they would bring a perfect sacrifice. It, whatever they brought, the animals, it could not have a defect. They had to bring the best of the best, the top from the best rams, goats, doves, whatever they brought. It could not have a defect. So when you think about that mentality and that attitude of presenting your body as a living sacrifice, you know, of course, we owe it to God as an act of worship to bring the best that we can. We know that this body is decaying every day. The body is actually dying every day. But what I'm hearing you say is that, okay, a $400, $500 grocery bill, many of us will, you know, many people would say, well, I can take half of that and buy some clothes or go on a trip or, you know, something designer or whatever. Whereas investing that time, because it takes time too, you know, as well. Because
it takes time.
Yeah.
Meal planning. I have meal planning. If you come to my refrigerator now and open the door, you'll see a series of Tupperware pieces that are filled with salad. And then I have other Tupperware pieces of mushrooms and other Tupperware pieces that have onions and those kinds of things, so that when I get ready to go, I can take those pieces out, pull it together, and make the best fast food, if you will, salad that I can, because I know that the phytonutrients, I know that the green, okay, and we don't mean money, we know that the green that comes from the earth, because we are what we eat, you know, is what we put in our body. And you continue to say the word living, and so we want people to eat live food. And live food, now that we have access to it based on the historical presence in these United States, things have changed. And our people have access to live food. We have a choice now. Mm-hmm. We don't get whatever, we get the first. And while we give 10% of our first fruits, the other 90% is for us. Well, if we chose the best and gave 10% off the top, mm-hmm. and kept the other 90%, it's the best of the best. So if it's the best of the best, there is no reason for us, even as we age, to not age gracefully,
yes.
and graciously. You know, one of our cousins is the oldest bodybuilder in the world. Her name is Ernestine Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And the Shepherd is one of the family names in our family names. And so, you know, she decided at 60-some to not become, as she said, fat and old sitting on the couch, her and her friend. And her friend has since passed away, but she and her husband are still married, going strong. But, you know, she leads classes, aerobic classes, Zumba classes regularly, and she has a long waiting list for people to get in her classes. But I say all that to say, you know, a living sacrifice, eating the best foods, making a commitment. And I think that's the challenge. People struggle to make a commitment,
mm-hmm.
and then make it a lifestyle. It's like going to church. You know, people, I don't want to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to get dressed, or I don't want to read my Bible, or I don't want to tithe, or I don't want to pray. And you know, it becomes a lifestyle. And
mm-hmm.
so when food and diet and health become a lifestyle, you want to read more about it. You want to do more about it. And then when you wake up and look in the mirror and you see a face that is like unbelievable to you, you go, that's my face. That's
mm-hmm.
because I've honored what God asked me to do. And so when I wake up every morning, I don't look like, oh my gosh, I look like, oh wow. And so that, again, reinforces, you know, health is your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, when you have the ability to remember,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things that you prepared yourself for, you go, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay, now I'm having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. And I think that a key word that you use there is lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. You know, I am a retired teacher, retired educator, but I'm pastoring full time now. And I believe that taking care of your body, seeing health as your wealth, is just as important as the lifestyle of prayer and worship. There is a scripture which speaks, I believe, in 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." You know, when you read that, of course, Paul is saying to Timothy, in this age of the Olympics and, you know, where the Greeks, especially the Gentiles, focus so much on their body image, he wanted to point out that what's important is your godliness, your growth spiritually. But he did not mean for Timothy to neglect his body. You know, that scripture does not mean just neglect your body. Because I, you know, what I see even in the church world is that we, you know, we're in choir rehearsal, we're preaching, we're teaching, you know, but we are struggling to maintain because we are so unhealthy. So
yes, so
that lifestyle of taking care of your body is important, just as important as your lifestyle of prayer. It's a matter of discipline. Wouldn't you say?
And I totally agree. And one of the things that, you know, when people say, I want to build a new church or I want to create a new church, well, you know what you should do first is build a gym, a workout facility, and then add a church to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say require the members, but I can say encourage the members
mm-hmm.
to take time out for themselves, 20, 30 minutes every day to engage in some form of physical activity, whether it's in that workout facility or outside. I just tell people, just go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me 15, 20 minutes swinging arms and go for a walk. Get yourself some good shoes. You like to spend money on shoes. You know, spend money on some good running shoes, walking shoes, and make use of them every day, whether it's, you know, 5 days out of seven. And I beg people, I'm always begging people to walk. And that brings me to eight things, the great eight. You know, eight is a fortune number in every aspect of the word. But I chose the great eight. And so I want to walk through those with you, and we can
mm-hmm.
run through them, but I want to walk through them with you.
Mm-hmm.
The great eight, I named it the great eight, and I will tell you from a historical point of view, one of my students from here in Indianapolis, Ben Davis High School, was my chemistry, college prep chemistry student, but she later became one of the great eight, the eight women who earned their doctorate in educational leadership all on the same day in 2016 at Indiana University. And so her name here, I can tell you her name, I'm so proud of her, Dr. Demetrius Hutchins. And she's into health. She teaches classes, health classes, on the Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm so grateful for that. But so I named the great eight. These are eight items that people, us, ought to know about ourselves on a regular basis before we go to the physician. And then when we get to the physician, get in front of that nurse who's taking those vital signs, we need to write those things down so that instead of them saying, oh, yeah, your blood pressure is good. No, I need metrics. I need numbers. What is my blood pressure? And that
mm-hmm.
we write it down. We record it. And there's electronic health records for those who don't reference those. You know, at least ask the nurse. So here's the grade eight. The first one starts about water. And so 60% of what you weigh should transmit into 60, the number of ounces you should consume every day based on how much you weigh. So let's say someone weighed 136 pounds. That translates into 60% of that. It's about 68 ounces to about 82 ounces in a day's time, which is about 2,250 milliliters or 2.2 liters. That's an example. That's number one
mm-hmm.
for grade eight. Number two, you should know your height. So I'm 5'7". So I'm about 1.7 meters. Number three, you should know your weight. I'm not at 136 right now. I'm a little more than about 145. And that's about 61, 62 kilograms. Sounds good in kilograms versus pounds.
Okay.
Number four, your blood pressure. 118 over 72. And you ought to aim for the 115 over 70 range. You get close. The closer you are to that, the better you are. Number five, your pulse. Mine goes from 48 to 60 beats per minute, and I'm happy about that. But the average person is supposed to be between 60 and 80.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, your A1C. That's the amount or percentage of oxygen in your blood relative to glucose, and so that range. That range should be, it ranges from like 1 to 12. 12 is really bad. So double-digit A1C is really bad. Anything less than 7 and 8 is where you need to be, mm-hmm. Okay? So you don't have to be, meds don't have to be prescribed for you. Number 7, your blood type. Mine's B, but there's blood type A, blood type B, blood type O, and blood type AB. Mm-hmm. And then finally, your glucose, which speaks back to your A1C in number 6, and your glucose should range between, and it really depends upon the hospital where you go to for care, but the range in my area is 80 to 105 milligrams per deciliter. Mm-hmm. So when they prick your finger and you put it on a little tab and put it in the glucose meter and it registers, so 90 is a good number. So the great 8. Is something that our audience should invest in and should know on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's really a good point because many times people have the mentality of turning over their health or thinking that the doctor is responsible for their health, but we are really responsible for our own health. The doctor is there just to aid us to maintain good health. When you really think about it, it's really not as a responsibility to make us healthy, especially if we are doing things that are contrary to good health. You know, it's just like we can't really assume that we are physically invincible just because we are Christians. So knowing the grade eight, I wrote it down as you mentioned it. And, you know, I can really go back and listen to this podcast, but I think I think it's so important to know yourself. You know, we talk about knowing our emotions, which I've been preaching about emotional health for a few Sundays now. And we also focus on knowing other people, knowing our children, you know, but knowing what's healthy about your own body, knowing some of those stats. I mean, that takes a little bit of work as well, because if we mistreat our bodies through even which the diet can affect all of this, but and lack of proper exercise, and we'll just pay for it. I mean, we'll pay for it eventually. And so it may not kill us outright, but it can open the door to problems like the heart disease or cancer, or, you know, not having the proper A1C, especially not drinking water. What can lack of water do to you?
I'm sorry, say that
if
again.
Not drinking water, yes, having that lack.
Not drinking water, oh my gosh. You know, I can give you some hot spots here. Number one of the things people reach for when they have a headache is an aspirin, you know, salicylic acid. They want to take an aspirin, or they want to take ibuprofen, or, you know, those kinds of things. Instead, your brain is screaming for oxygen. On the inside, your brain says, I'm, please, I need oxygen. Mm-hmm. So you should pick up a big old glass of water, and you should drink it. And then you should drink another big old glass of water, and I'm saying 8 ounces, okay? Mm-hmm. From a metric point of view, it'd be 225 milliliters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I have to always do that conversion. It's a whole other language. But in any case, so you drink the water, give it 20 minutes, and that headache will subside. Now you've given the oxygen to your brain, who's been screaming for it all this time. That's one piece. The other piece is, if you continue to be dehydrated, and let me say this, if you don't drink the necessary 60% of what you weigh each day, it takes 3 days to get caught up with the 1 day that you were dehydrated. It takes 3 days. Sounds like 3 days. 3 days somewhere else. Easter. That's 3 days. It takes 3 days.
He arose on the third day. Okay.
Long way to stone. Okay. And came back to life. Okay. Well, 3 days keeps you behind. But if you stay on the 60% or 70% of what you weigh every day in terms of water, your brain is quick and functional. Your blood pressure stays where it needs to be. We just talked about the grade eight. Your pulse functions and comes back to its level where it needs to be, even if you walk fast that day you said you were going to walk, which is every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The amount of what you weigh will stay in congruency. Okay? You won't be constipated, which is an issue, because when that happens, now your blood pressure goes up because the blood in your body has become thick. Your liver is not cleaning itself like it does between 10 and 2 every night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your digestive system is struggling because everything is like a highway, you know, from your mouth to the end is a super highway. Now you've got a bunch of parked cars, okay, in your colon or your large intestine, small intestine, waiting to get around because you didn't eat for your blood type, okay? So now you're looking, you look at your face in the morning, you go, oh my God, I'm so bloated. I look old, my face is sagging. Well, that's because of what you've eaten. That's
mm-hmm.
still sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you eat meat, which I really don't, I eat fish and I eat turkey, but not on a regular basis, okay? Meaning I'll alternate. You know, one day it might be salmon, 2 days might be just vegetables, fourth day might be chicken, you know, that kind of thing. In any case, what happens is when you eat the foods that don't agree with you, and I haven't talked about eating for your blood type, but I will, and I will talk about hormones too because you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
But when those foods sit there, okay, now your system is all out of whack. You can't think straight. You have a haze. And so I think you preached about anxiety on Sunday. So now you feel anxious
mm-hmm.
because you don't know what to do, when in fact, the system that is supposed to have been cleansed is not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you're not functioning. You look bloated. You don't feel good. Oh, my God. You know, and then the psychophysiological piece goes into action. Okay?
Yes.
Psychologically, mm-hmm. I woke up. I don't look good. I don't feel good. Oh, my God. I can't go. You know what I'm saying? You don't read your Bible because your day hasn't started that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a whole series of things going on, I think, from what you're hearing from me.
Mm-hmm.
And the wealth comes when you open up reading your Bible with a glass of water or two or three, okay? And then there's a science to that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a science to the eating. And once you get that lifestyle and that strategic plan in place and you do it automatically, your whole life changes, you know? Then the wealth comes, and then you begin to make better decisions, and then you become confident about those decisions and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And let me add another layer to that. You know, you said a lot. I mean, it is so important, really, to drink water when you see it's like a domino effect when you're not drinking
yes,
water.
It's
and
a
even
domino
your
effect.
Yes. And so there are times, just because this is the Christian view, let me add another layer to that, that the enemy, the devil himself, can really attack through that. It's like there's an open door to sickness and diseases when we don't do our part. And so many times you know, I believe in prayer. I will lay on hands and I will anoint with oil. I will do all of that. I believe in it. I believe that God is a healer, and I believe there's power in the blood and there's miracle working power. You know, I just believe that. But I will tell
yeah.
you that sometimes all you need to do is go drink a glass of water, and we would have laid
yeah.
out in prayer when you need to
yeah.
go home and drink some water. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Drink some water.
Just
yes.
go home, drink
yes.
some water,
yes.
you know,
yes.
and
yes.
so I think, and I don't mean to make light of
blood.
It, yes,
no, yeah, it feeds the blood, because now it oxygenates the blood, and we talk about the blood,
yes,
the blood, well, the blood that we, you know, when we do our communion, the blood isn't blood until we oxygenate it from water, and
yes.
so, you know, the river, Niger and the river, the Nile River as well, was rich as it flowed through the soil from Kemet. I know we call it Egypt. I call it Kemet. When it flowed through the river,
mm-hmm.
In the banks, you found the gold, the 24 gold. You found all the nutrients. Well, we
yes.
also grow our food in that soil.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you don't use the water to do what it needs to do for our body, and for obviously our soil, you can't have a wealth of health. You know, you can't have a good lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then the hormones. I put that on my list to also include in our conversation. Our hormones, if they are not released in a timely fashion, because our body is a miracle. Body is such a miracle, and it will heal itself. And I wanted to get back to that, and I wanted to get back to the liver and the heart and the major organs. Mm-hmm. It will heal itself if we set it like it should, and that is letting the liver do what it does. But when we take those, as you mentioned as well, when we take those prescription drugs as directed by someone else who we allow to take care of, when we should take care of ourselves, we go see the physician once a year for a physical. I'm not negating that. Mm-hmm. But in the other 364 other days, we have to do what it takes to maintain our health as a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that would be, yes, eating correctly. Yes, drinking the water that I, you know, suggested about 10 minutes ago, exercising, walking minimally. If you just walk, you'd be amazed what that will do for you. I encourage you folks to lift weights. I've lift weights to have for 30 some odd years. And those kinds of things put you back together and negate the prescription drugs. So the prescription drugs, and let me get to that, they convolute. Or they arrest, now I know you like to arrest your attention, so I want to unarrest the attention and direct it to the liver, mm-hmm. that when we allow the liver to do what it does, which is take the waste away and to take, you know, the enemy out of our body, mm-hmm. Our body begins to heal itself like it was miraculously given to us to do. Mm-hmm. So eating fast foods has become public enemy number one, and sitting disease is overcoming, sitting still all the time, is overcoming cancer now in terms of killing folk, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it's good to sit and read your Bible. You don't need to sit long, you know, but sit strong, as Congresswoman Carson used to say here from the state of Indiana. And then from there, get up and get moving. Mm-hmm. You know, get up and get moving. And when you get up and get moving, your lymphatic is in your neck, system underneath your jawline, underneath your arms, near your breast, and in your groin area. And so when you get that clear liquid called lymph, which is just above the blood and below the skin, and it gets to moving, it begins to heal you. That is your immune system. And so you want to rely on your immune system. You want to rely on the release of the toxins and the breaking down of the bile that's in the liver through your system. And then you want to rely on your kidneys. You can keep them healthy by drinking water versus anything else. And you know, all that working together, your body's miraculous. It will do that automatically, mm-hmm. if you do and honor it like you should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, our good friend and classmate, Cheryl Beard, you know, Cheryl, she said, we had a conversation, I mean, years ago, and she was talking about, you know, some lifestyle changes, etc. But she said, you know what, Angela, I just need to cooperate with my healing. And, you know, when she said that, I grabbed a hold of that phrase, cooperate with my healing. And that is exactly what you're saying, you know, cooperate with your healing. The body is designed to heal itself. So I'm just going to cooperate with that process that God really has already put into place. And to cooperate with that is to do all of the things you just said, you know, the water, I mean, the kidneys, the liver, the immune system. We don't think about that as we eat. We just eat for satisfaction, you know, right. Immediate satisfaction. It tastes good. It feels good. Sometimes it satisfies other emotional things we have going on. You know, we fill our right. time with food. We rely on food for comfort, you know, other things that we do that are not necessarily good for us. But I want you to touch a little bit more on the hormones.
Sure. Yes. You know, we have neurotransmitter, neuro brain from the mm-hmm. Greek neuro brain.
Yes.
And transmit means to move. And so we have brain, I call brain hormones, but they're also called neurotransmitters. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so some of the basic ones that are normally released that are normally released when we balance our diet and we honor the foods that are good for us. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned, phytonutrients, foods that have choline in it, so on and so forth. And those come from our green plants. Things come from the earth. So dopamine, and these are the main basic neurotransmitters that when they're released, we feel happy, we feel relaxed, our anger is under control, and the ability to maintain our weight is normal, and our anxiety levels go down to basically zero. So when dopamine, endorphins, and serotonin, those three basic ones we start with, are released, okay, we're functional. And they're released into there's autonomic, and then there's central nervous system, and central nervous system is parasympathetic, sympathetic, those are a little more complicated. But bottom line, It's a relay system. Mm-hmm. It's a relay system. So when dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins are not released, we feel anxious, we feel upset, we feel what we call depressed. Mm-hmm. And so what takes over is the enemy, which is the cortisol, C-O-R-T-I-S-O-L, mm-hmm. cortisol hormone. Mm-hmm. And that's what creates our spare tire around our midsection, mm-hmm. which means that our spleen, okay, and our pancreas and our stomach are all in that area. But more importantly, insulin, also another hormone, is released when it's out of balance with the sugar glucose. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we don't balance glucose and the hormone insulin, okay, when they get out of balance and more insulin has to be produced, our pancreas suffers, so it begins to swell. Our liver is now struggling to deal with all of the excess that is coming off of the foods and off of the excess, the battle between the glucose and the hormone insulin, okay? And so now our midsection gets larger. And so now, diabetes is setting in, mm-hmm. because we have a metabolic imbalance. Mm-hmm. And we need homeostasis, like Homo sapiens that mm-hmm. we are. We need homeostasis in our physical body, but in our physiological, and that's what we call the manifestation or the management of these hormones, dopamine, endorphins, and serotonin. And so when we get those three hormones, brain hormones, releasing on a natural basis because we're eating the right foods, the phytonutrients, the balance of food, not from a gluttony point of view, but from a normal, every 3 hours, I should put that in, every 3 hours we should be aiming to eating a balanced portion of nutrients. And what do I mean by that? Protein and greens, some sort of protein source. It could be a handful of broccoli, because, oh my God, handful of broccoli, but you can steam it, you can eat it raw, I don't care. You can grill it if you want, and some walnuts. This is just an example. It's not the end-all, do-all. But doing that every 3 hours, okay, and stopping about 7 p.m., 8 p.m., okay, because if we're retired from the evening, maybe 10 or 11 o'clock, I don't know, and you're getting up by 5 or 6 a.m., so you want to break that fast in the mm-hmm. morning. Mm-hmm. So you start out reading your Bible, we hope, and a half a glass of water first, and then get it going, okay? Mm-hmm. Then have some sort of I encourage people to do protein and green. That's what I try to start my life. So for me, I might be eating dinner for breakfast, which I do often. Mm-hmm. So I might be doing salmon and somebody's vegetable. Probably no rice. No, I don't eat bread either. I should tell you that. Bread's not on my grocery list. Mm-hmm. Nor is pasta. Okay, mm-hmm. I do rice, mm-hmm. reasonably so. But in any case, the point I'm making with you is these brain hormones will release if we are eating a balance of nutrients. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's macronutrients and micronutrients. If we're eating a balance of those, we're not overdoing it on the sugar intake. There's sugars and foods that we mm-hmm. eat anyway, so mm-hmm. don't add to it, mm-hmm. and drink that water. Our body knows what to do with all of that. Yes. And we get the right amount of exercise. Like I said, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, walking, you can do it twice a day if you want, I don't care. And if you have a walking job, as educators, you know, we were up moving. I rarely sat down if I was grading papers, but I could probably stand up and do that as well.
Yes.
but I was always sitting, always moving.
Mm-hmm.
So that made a difference. You know, it made a difference all those years. And plus, I was athletically inclined as well. But doing all of that, you can stay forever young if you want. Yeah, we are going to age, but there's no reason why not to age graciously and gracefully.
That's right.
So, mm-hmm. so let the hormones do what they do, but let them be released on a timely basis. Because again, I remind you once again, our body is a miracle and it knows what to do. We just have to honor it mm-hmm. on a regular schedule.
Mm-hmm. I agree with the fact that as we age and age graciously and gracefully, you know, why not enjoy your life? Why not have the energy to travel and, you know, if you have children and grandchildren, to do things with them and to do and to continue to live life, you know, to its fullest. You know, my father just turned 86 years old and he actually retired from two or three different careers. And even up until last year, he was chaplain at 85. He was chaplain at a hospital, you know, and so I just commend my parents for having such a full life and being able to get up and go when they want to, when they wanted to. That's just a blessing to be able to enjoy your life to the fullest like that. But I think it's something else that you said that I think is so important when it comes to the brain hormones. Very seldom do we think of the brain as releasing hormones and the neural brain activity. But not only are we affected by our weight, not only is our weight affected by, you know, overeating or not eating the correct foods or not getting the appropriate nutrients, but our emotional health. You just mentioned that. Our intellectual ability and capacity and creativity level is that's all affected by what we eat. And so just touching, you know, we don't have a lot of time left. We do have time left, as much time as we want to have, you and I. But I want you to touch on how that affects our children. You know, as a teacher and educator, I have seen so many kids, you know, hyperactivity, ADHD, inability to think during the day, you know, just a lot of different issues that we know are affected just by the diet.
Yes. You know, and that frustrates me to no end. I you know, one of the kinds of things when I was in the classroom is I let the kids eat in my classroom, and I did that because I didn't want them to be unfunctional. I needed them to be functional. I knew that sometimes some of my classes were before lunch, so they struggled. Mm-hmm. And I also know their diets at home were not good. And so what I tried to do was eat foods in front of them that were healthy in efforts to get them to see it's cool to eat foods that are healthy for you. But at my age, in teaching in front of them, I didn't look my age ever. And they just, you know, so when they looked at me, they were reminded of youth. Mm-hmm. And it reminded of activity, and I had more energy than they did. So mm-hmm. modeling for your children what you want them to emulate, and that is your eating habits and what you eat and what you're seeing eating. You know, they never saw me eating a Big Mac because I don't eat that. They mm-hmm. saw me eat an apple. They saw me eating yogurt. You know, those kinds of things. They didn't see me eating tons of candy bars. They knew I liked dark chocolate, but they saw me sprinkling it in my yogurt. Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of things. They saw me drinking water all the time or some sort of really high-end juice. But they didn't see me drinking soda pop. They never saw Pepsi sitting on my desk, those kinds of things. They saw water all the time. Water, 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 water. You know, can we have a drink together? Water.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to laugh and joke about it, but over time, I was able to win them over. And so even today, my students now in the 30s and 40s, and as I said before, I said, Dr., you know, Demetra Hutchins, she teaches a health class.
Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of things have carried over. And I'm so excited for that. So you have to model that behavior you want your children to emulate. My nieces and nephews, one played football in college. The other young person ran cross country at Tuskegee. So, you know, and my little niece now, a great niece, she's 1.5. She runs around, likes to play with cars and trucks. So I'm excited about going to go play cars and trucks with her and play in the mud with her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get out and play.
Mm-hmm.
So doing that, you know, even at 50-some, I'm still going to be running around with her like I did with her mommy.
Yes.
So, You know, you have to exhibit that behavior on a regular basis and be able to be physically well to do that.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. You know, we participated in our church in the Daniel fast. Of course, we do regular fasting and prayer days. But I heard the most positive feedback from our members whenever we do the Daniel fast. And yes. Are you familiar with the Daniel fast, where you eat fruits and vegetables?
We do it in our church.
Yes, 40 days.
We do for 40 days.
Yes.
Where people give up. I don't have a whole lot to give up now.
I see.
Because I eat like that already. So probably the only thing I give up is probably the dark chocolate for the 40 days. But everything else I already do. So, yes, they see that they've lost weight. They see that they slept better. They saw that their relationships started to improve. They saw that they started to talk to their mate more, related to the kids better, and that they were reading their Bible more, listening to more Christian music. Their whole life changed, and I think many probably Christians probably continued on even after the fast was over because they saw such a positive outcome.
In addition to the Lenten fast, you know, the 40 days of fasting prior to Lent, you know, it's just so important. Not only are you detoxing your body, you're detoxing your mind, your spirit, your soul, you know, just taking a break from all of the toxins, really. You know, and I encourage people to do that on a regular basis, to take some time, not just corporately directed, but you can really tell when your body is off, you know, when we've eaten things or we haven't. You know, I'm in school, so being in school, I find myself sitting up late at night typing and doing papers and reading. So I've had to be more intentional with my health. You know, I really, I mean, it's just more work, you know, in that regard. But I want to ask you for some, do you have some closing thoughts? I'd like to close with a couple of scriptures before actually ending this podcast. But is there anything else that you'd like to share with us that you think is important for us to take away on this particular episode?
I think on the next episode is we'll talk about eating for a blood type, but I would say that I would ask individuals to invest in time in actually reading the Bible first thing in the morning and writing down maybe three things they want to achieve and just putting it in the Bible and letting go and working on your faith. And my father's faith was greater than his fear. My mother's walk was greater than her talk. And so my parents have since passed away. They've been married though for 53 years. So, and my mother lived with, and we lived with diabetes for 50 years. And in the end of her life, she had both feet, both hands, both eyes. She was fully functional. But she took care of my father who had dementia. He had Alzheimer's and he was 82. She was 76. But they lived well together, but it was all surrounded by diet and faith and family.
That is so awesome. I mean, that's a good testimony and a good foundation that has allowed you to come and to be able to bless others, you know, with your knowledge. So I want to encourage our listeners to check out your webinars and even your page, Health is Our Wealth, Health is Your Wealth, rather.
Yes.
Miss Angela J. Neely, tell us how to get in touch with you.
Yes, I am so sorry. I forgot about that. Yes, this Sunday, I'm doing a webinar from 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. And if what I can do to make it easy as people listen, if they even want to just text me, I'll be more than happy to send them the information if it's okay to get my phone number.
Yes, sure.
317-371-2269 for those who are listening and if you want the contact information for the webinar. But if you go on my page, as you said, on Facebook, there's Coach AJ and I post it there and you can look there now. I will post it on my LinkedIn page, Angela J. Neely. I'll probably tweet it from @2127 or @AJN27 or @CoachAJ is my Twitter. And then finally, my Instagram account is AJ_2154. And if you actually, to make it even simpler, if you just Google me,
Yes.
You will see all kinds. I'm very Googleable, and everything is attached there in terms of finding out who and what, where, when, and why, just making it simple. So there's a number of ways to reach me at any point. I don't have a problem responding to anyone. So.
Awesome. Awesome. And we look forward to another episode. You know, I look forward to hearing about that, eating for our blood type. That will be,
yes.
I mean, just an, yes. a very good topic, very enlightening. But let me close with this scripture, Psalm 139. I won't read the entire scripture from the New Living Translation, just a few verses, beginning with verse 13. Where David understands his relationship with God, and he understands how God has intricately created him. You know, in the book of Genesis, of course, we know that God created us. He created mankind. But verse 13 of Psalm 139 reads, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And this verse 17, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." So I just want to close. I love Psalm 139. I could read the whole scripture. It's just so poetic and so profound and so true. But I just want to encourage our listeners to take some time today to invest in yourself, your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health, because God cares for you. He created us. And the least that we can do with this precious gift, this body that he has given us, is to honor and to worship God with good health. Remember what we've learned today: to cooperate with your healing. Your body is designed to heal itself. And I so love what Coach AJ has said and imparted to us today, that your health is your wealth. So thank you so much, listeners. Have a great and blessed day. Peace to you. God bless. Thank you for listening to the Christian View Podcast. I am so glad you joined us. Please share this podcast with your friends and family. We would love to hear your feedback. You can contact us on the web at www.thechristianview.org or the Christian View Facebook page, or via Twitter and Instagram at pastor_ARJ. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless.